simulation. What shelter am I in? Aggravation. Oh, cool, go over first. Overflow. Relocation. Manifestation. And diversification. Sanchaya, Prakopa, Prasara, Stana, Samashraya. So accumulation means there's the gastrointestinal tract, which is known as the GI, gastrointestinal. Which means the stomach, the small intestine, and the colon of the large intestine. This is where all the this is where the digestion goes on of food within the body. The stomach is the seat of kapha in the body. This is where kapha principally resides. Small intestine is where pitta resides. And the large intestine is where vata resides. Food that we eat, if it's not digested, then what forms is am, as well as the three doshas. And certain food will form more of one dosha, more of another dosha. Yeah. In other words, this is where this begins takes place. You have your stomach. You have your small intestine, you have the large intestine. You eat food, what happens if it's not digested, you get you get toxins, as well as the three doshas form. So where they'll form, kapha will form in the stomach, pitta will form in the small intestine, and vata will form in the colon. These are where the doshas will locate themselves, from the food that didn't get digested. And also the toxins will wind up in these three places. So this is the state of accumulation. The doshas and the toxins are accumulating in the gastrointestinal tract. And you'll get certain symptoms. For instance, at the state of accumulation, if you have a vata, a kapha disorder, you'll have mucus. If you have a pitta disorder, you may feel acid indigestion. You may feel some acidity. If you have a vata disorder, you'll start having gas. In other words, you'll have physical symptoms which will tell you that that you're forming am in the body and the doshas are being formed in their sites of location. Accumulation. It's like if you have here's a pot, and you have a faucet here. So the first two stages, and this, it's leaking water into the, so gradually it's accumulating. So accumulation is the first stage, when you're getting doshas and toxins into the gastrointestinal tract due to indigestion. This is the first stage called accumulation. It's the mild stage. Some of the symptoms listed here are vata, accumulating in the colon, accumulates in the colon, causing distension, gas, constipation, insomnia, fear, fatigue, dryness, and seeking of warmth. For pitta, accumulates in the small intestine, producing burning sensation, fever, hyperacidity, bitter taste in the mouth, yellow coloring of urine and stool, desire for cold things, and anger. Kapha accumulates in the stomach, resulting in lassitude, or being tired, heaviness, pallor, bloating, indigestion, desire for light food. So for every one of these stages, there are symptoms, so you can know what stage you're at by the symptoms. Is that clear? Now the next stage, when it accumulates more and more, and it's practically on the top, this is called aggravation. You haven't stopped the indigestion process. You keep on eating food. It's not being digested. More and more amas being formed. More and more of the doshas are becoming accumulated in their sites and therefore imbalanced. And the next stage is aggravation. And there are symptoms. In other words, most of the symptoms are just increasing, but the first symptoms, which is just logical, the symptoms are just becoming more intense. Vata causes lightheadedness, increased constipation, etc., etc. Just increase. And finally, they break out of the gastrointestinal tract and they flow through the lymph and the blood into the body, the toxins and the excess of doshas. They start flowing through the body, and that's called overflow. Now they're just flowing out of the body, into the body, through the blood system, through the lymph system. And the result is they start seeking after a place to find a place of location. And therefore you may have a pain here one day, a pain here another day. And then finally they find a place of location, you get a steady pain or a steady indigestion or whatever. You start getting steady symptoms. Finally, they manifest themselves. There's a flower here. They start growing things. It's a bad flower. But they start things are starting to blossom and come forth, you know. You're getting a garden, you're getting a little garden within your body of disease. That's manifestation. There's some preliminary symptoms. And then finally, diversification. All this, then they start labeling. By the time it's diversified or manifested, then you have cancer, you have heart disease, you have, you know, whatever else, so many different types of disease. Now it's classified by the doctors and allopathic doctors or whatever. By that time, you're almost dead. And they say, well, we don't know what's the cause. We're investigating, giving us $20 million more, and then we'll find out what the cause is. But actually, the cause is all the way back here, the indigestion, the fact that you didn't digest the food, and therefore the doshas and the toxins accumulated, they overflowed into the rest of the body, they wander around, they finally found a weak place in your body, they started to relocate there, and you took some drugs, clear away the symptoms, so you kept on with the same habits you had before, adding more and more toxins into the system, more and more imbalance of the doshas, and the result is finally it's manifested and diversified, and at that stage they either cut it out or they give you your next body, or they give you some pill to wipe it out, which means wipe you out.
Yeah. Where does weak organs come in? Some people get born with less.
There's karma. You misuse the organ, just like a sense can be overused or underused or abused. For instance, there's, you see a picture of a yogi holding his hand up there like that until it withers. Well, that's called abuse or underuse. So if you underuse something, then by your karma in your next lifetime, you get an organ which is underused. If you overuse it, you get the result of that, even in this lifetime. If you can, you may be born with a strong, healthy liver, but if you just constantly eat sweets and fried things and you're irregulated and you're always in anxiety, you drink alcohol especially, then you destroy your liver even in this lifetime. And your next lifetime, because if you're using alcohol, you get a reaction in some future lifetime and you get born with a weak liver. But also the opposite is true, is if you take care of it, you're regulated, you eat the right food, then you become strong and healthy. Your liver is strong and healthy. And then you get the karma for that. Is this clear? So now we've finished the topic of Ayurveda. Everyone knows everything. Yeah. Diverse means diversified, means all different qualities, symptoms are there. Just like diverse manifestation means, you know, it's, for instance, arthritis. But what type of, even within arthritis, there is rheumatoid arthritis, there's pitta cause, there's vata cause, there's kapha cause. Like pitta, when things are caused by vata, when it's clear that it's not only arthritis, but it's vata cause arthritis, like arthritis is generally a vata disease, then there's a lot of pain. But if it's caused by pitta, then there'll be a lot of swelling. And if it's caused by kapha, if kapha is the main cause of it, then there'll be swelling is also kapha. Pitta is wherever there's pain, or pus formation. Wherever there is pain, that's vata. Wherever there is swelling or heat, then that's pitta. And wherever there is pus or other types of mucoid accumulation, that's kapha. Yes.
You said that it all begins with bad digestion, but isn't bad digestion actually the result of a bad state of mind?
Yeah, of course. Because bad digestion means that you're eating something you can't digest. Then you must be crazy. Why else would someone do that? You're trying to kill yourself. Must be some reason. Or because people want, generally we eat Kapha people, vata people will eat because they want energy. Normally, people eat because they want energy. Or pitta people, they want power. Vata people want to do something, pitta people want to control something. And kapha people, they have some emotional. They want to be loved, and no one loves them, so at least they want, they want to be embraced by a cauliflower. They want some reciprocation with something. So there may be, different reasons why, or psychologically, they all combine together. But generally speaking, they overeat because they can't lord it over their cat or their dog or anyone else. Therefore, at least they want to, get on the apples case, At least they get that satisfaction. Here's someone I can control and enjoy.
That's why lonely people often get fat.
Yeah, sure. So that's just because we don't have Krishna, therefore we substitute something else for it. So whether it's eating or something, some other activity, ultimately eating is such an essential part of maintaining the body. that generally always comes down to the eating part, because that's the real basic thing of lording it over. And when you satisfy the eating part, when you can overeat, then you oversleep. Then when you oversleep, then, you know, there may be other types of lording it over, but ultimately it all is jiva do. It all begins with the tongue. Because if you don't eat, you don't get the power to lord it over in other ways.
But it's very difficult to control the tongue. It's the most difficult.
Yeah.
So how do we start?
Take prasadam.
Yeah, but that's a problem.
Then you have to chant Hare Krishna too. You have to take prasadam, but then there's the subtleties of taking prasadam. You have to take it in a devotional attitude. You have to take it at the proper time. You have to remember Krishna when you're taking prasadam, remembering that prasadam is something that was offered to Krishna. And you have to chant Hare Krishna, and you have to be patient. Eventually you become purified. Yes. Yes. Any thought which is not of Krishna consciousness probably won't be very easily digested. Because our real main thought, the real main thing, I want to lord, I want to control the material energy, and I want to enjoy it. And I'm trying to control the material energy, but it just won't be controlled, and I'm suffering. So those are the two thoughts, namely ignorance and passion. Passion means I want to control, I want to enjoy, and ignorance means I'm angry and frustrated because I can control, I can enjoy. So those are the two thoughts, those are the two contaminations in the modes of ignorance and passion. And because of that, our consciousness becomes blocked. We can't understand what's going on. We make everything complicated. And that's called indigestion. You know, one thought reacts upon another. Just like we're chanting Hare Krishna, we can just think of Krishna, but we don't have time even when we're chanting Hare Krishna. I have too many thoughts going through my mind. I've got to solve them all. So this is all called Om. This is the Om of the mind. Or it's manifested as emotions. Just like there are different people, they may have naturally, because of their constitution, they also have a set of emotions that go along with it. For instance, if a bank robber walks into a bank and holds a gun at the people, then a person who's vata, he'll immediately become fearful and nervous. And a person who's pitta, he'll immediately become angry and think that, you know, when the guy turns his back, I'll slam him. And a kapha person will just try to ignore the person as if the bank robber wasn't there. So this is psychological. It's not in general. There is a psychological, but these are all reactions. But ultimately, if any of these things are not in relation to Krishna, it's just different types of covering, that's all. Is that clear? Well, this means that it just gets worse and worse. The causative factor is whatever is causing you to form toxins and imbalance of the doshas, you just keep on doing. You're not balancing at all. And therefore it just progresses through the gastrointestinal tract to the rest of your body. And in Ayurveda, it divides up the body into the inner channel, which is the gastrointestinal tract, and then usually goes to the outer channel, which is your skin. And then it goes deeper from your skin, it goes back deeper into your body, into the vital organs, like your liver, your heart, your spleen, like that. Therefore, it traces also the direction, the path that the diseases take. They usually go from the gastrointestinal tract to the outer and then back into the inner vital organs. Yeah, it's possible all the way up to when you die. from these two, from accumulation, aggravation, this is easily by fasting or by just modification of the diet or the consciousness or something, that these, the toxins can be eliminated and the doshas can be balanced. When it gets into overflow, it's also possible it becomes a little bit more difficult. And when it gets into relocation, and as it goes progressively on, it becomes more and more difficult. Yes. Oh, okay, yeah, sure. So the question, okay, we'll do this.
How do we know what we can digest? Because if we are beta kappa constitution, then
we should know what the food is. We have to know so many things. But the main thing, what is the main symptom of, is this erythrosis? We'll go on to the, what is the main symptom of the fact that you're ready to eat? Yes. Exactly. That is the secret of knowing when you're supposed to eat. You're supposed to be hungry. And hunger is of different types. What kind of hunger? Sometimes we don't feel hungry, but as soon as we see someone else eating, then immediately we become hungry. So that's psychological hunger. But physical hunger. And so Ayurveda goes over the symptoms of the fact that when you're hungry. Does anyone not know when they're hungry? What's that? Yeah, but you feel a real emptiness.
It starts speaking the stomach.
Maybe, but you should know it. In other words, if you don't know what hunger is, then try, you know, Neil Jalakadasi. And if you still don't feel hunger, then try it for a couple of days. So we should know what hunger is. And the hungrier we are, the more we can eat. So knowing how much we can eat depends upon how hungry we are. Now, not how hungry we'd like to be. But that's the problem, is sometimes when we don't eat according to how hungry we are. And that's why we get indigestion. So first thing is, how hungry we are determines how much we can eat, and there's different types of food. There's food which is light, which is food which is heavy. So Ayurveda explains, for instance, milk is, do you think milk is heavy or light?
Heavy.
Yes. So milk, and what about burfi? Yes. How many, what's the heaviest milk sweet?
Burfi.
So in one cup of burfi, how many cups of milk are there usually? 8 cups of milk at least? Or 16? 16 cups of milk? A gallon and 1 cup of burfi? Does anyone know?
Well, when you make burfi, I use 5 liters, and by the time it becomes kheer, there's only 2 liters left. So I take 1 liter out, and with the other liter, you make like 15 burfi.
15 burfi. So if you eat 15 burfis, that's the same thing as eating, drinking like 2.5 liters of milk.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That, I think it's probably more.
It depends smaller, on how heavy the milk is. Sometimes milk makes a lot less.
Well, say for maybe 3 or 4 maybe 2 burfis is a cup of is a liter of milk sometimes. 4 burfis is a liter of milk.
Yeah, big burfi.
Big burfi. So 2 is like a liter is how many cups of milk? 4 cups?
4 cups.
So each burfi is a cup of milk. Does anyone think like that when they eat burfi? I'm drinking a cup, this is equal to drinking a cup of milk. And what happens at a feast when you eat, does anyone ever eat 3 or 4 burfis?
Yes.
So at the end of a big feast, how many devotees, after an end of a big feast, would drink a liter of milk?
Yeah.
But at the end of the feast, how many devotees would eat 3 or 4 burpees? And then after the end of the feast, how many devotees after doing that feel a little slightly tired? So we have to know what the food is that we're eating. You know, how light or how heavy it is, etc. And there are other factors also, but the main factor is how hungry we are. Or the first thing I learned in French, when I was taking French in school, is that it was a refrain that you should not live to eat, you should eat to live. For we say sharira, avidya, jala, jitendriya, jotendriya, tayakal, etc. So we should more or less get a grasp. Now there are other factors also, but that's really the main factor. There's a factor about what our doshas are. And that we'll go into now. This is the part that usually is emphasized in all the Ayurvedic books and the seminars. They usually don't tell people not to overeat, because people are not going to do it anyhow, because they have nothing else to do in the material world. What else is there to do? The only reason why people don't, sometimes, like the ladies, they'll fast, but they have another objective in mind. It's not, you know, you can give up, for instance, eating for maybe sex life, but to give up sex life, what are you going to give up sex life for unless for Krishna consciousness? So you can't give up eating or sleeping or mating or defending unless you give it up for Krishna consciousness. Because the whole idea is to enjoy somehow or another. If you don't try and enjoy this way, then you try and enjoy that way, and the result will be the same. You'll have to try to enjoy. But if one becomes Krishna conscious, then it's possible to do what's actually necessary. Yes.
There are some people who, every time they have problems, they fast, or they are contented.
Yes, because they don't know what they're doing, so they might as well just fast. In other words, every problem they just fast.
Some problems come also sickness because of this.
Yeah, of course. If you, for instance, if you haven't eaten enough and you feel weak, he decided, well, I should fast. That's what I always do. I always fast. But then it'll just make it worse. Certain things you shouldn't fast because it'll make it worse. Although in general, fasting is better than overeating. But it's not that in every situation you should fast. Sometimes. If one doesn't know what he's doing, if he doesn't have knowledge, then of course he'll only do according to what he has knowledge of. If one thing works in one situation and you try to apply in all situations, it may not work. It may have worked in that situation. If you overate one day and you fast the next day, then it'll work. But if you just feel sick and you don't really trace out the cause, you don't know what the cause is, and you fast, then it may make it worse. Just like we have devotees who, one devotee, for instance, in Holland, he just fasted. He was trying to eliminate something from his body, but he fasted to death. So that definitely wasn't the cure. Yes. Yes. It's time to what?
To eat.
Then why do we eat if you're not hungry? You only eat once a day. But if you're not hungry, you eat, what happens? Then you get sick. So better to fast the whole day than to get sick. Because then you'll have to fast the next day anyhow, if you're sick. In other words, generally for us, it shouldn't have to be black or white. Either I fast or I have a feast. It's either fasting or feasting. What's the sense of eating unless you feast? No, then if we're feeling not so hungry, then eat less. Then you, generally, if you're not hungry, then how is it going to digest? Hunger is a sign that you have a fire of digestion. Just like if you want to get warm, generally, if you want to cook something, you have to cook it in a fire, right? If you put your pot on the stove without putting the fire on, without having a fire on, will it cook? How long will it take say you want to make some sabji with potatoes and cauliflower, and you put it on the stove in some water without any fire underneath it, how long will it take to cook? Yeah, so if you don't have any hunger, which is a symptom that you have a fire going on within your body, then how long will it take you to digest your food? How long will it take if there's no fire in the stomach or in the intestines? How long will it take you to digest the food that you just ate? Does it? You never get sick. What do you define as being sick? You mean you keep on going? Is that what you mean by not getting sick? Yeah. But that keep on going, you know, until one day you fall over and they... I mean, there's people like that. They say, I never get sick, and then when they, the one day when they do get sick, you know, they've disappeared. The one day they got sick was on their disappearance day. So it's the fact that we can keep on going, but that's not necessarily the state of health, not getting sick. We can go into some of the details, like one of the symptoms is that you feel enlivened. Not just the fact that I can, you know, I can keep on going, but we should actually, after eating, we should get energy from the food, and it should make us feel more enlivened and healthy, satisfied. That's what the symptom, for instance, in the mode of goodness. It's healthy, it's satisfying, etc., etc. Sukha priti vivardhana. But if we're, you know, after eating, we're just like fighting so we can stay awake. You know, we're, you know, kind of lethargic, and, you know, gas is coming out of all different parts of our body. But it's not interfering with my service, therefore I think I'm healthy. Well, we just have a different definition of health than what we're talking about. Anything else? Yeah.
In the Lilamrita I read, Srila Prabhupada recommended, I think, of the Mishra to eat even though he wasn't hungry.
Well, that may be in his case. Eat at a regulated time. Prabhupada used to cook for him. Because I don't know what disease Dr. Mishra had. I can't remember. But as I said, it's not that fasting is the... You know, as far as Prabhupada being exactly an Ayurvedic doctor... You know, that may be another thing, but he was offering him prasadam. And Dr. Mishra, you know, he seemed like he was a typical businessman who just neglected eating. So if you don't eat properly, you know, at the right times and regulated times, you'll definitely get sick. So at least probably tried to regulate his eating and tried to eat, you know, nutritious food. Whether or not it completely solved his problem, Prabhupada wasn't acting as an Ayurvedic doctor. He was giving him prasadam, at least.
But it worked.
It worked, yeah. That's an important thing. But it's not that Prabhupada had one, you know, idea of it. That Prabhupada showed you how to violate the laws of nature by eating prasadam. That's not what the example is. If you just eat prasadam, you don't have to worry about the laws of nature, because it's all transcendental, Prabhupada. But we have, you know, we have our own personal example. You eat too much, doesn't matter how, you know, it's prasadam. still you fall, will fall asleep, will get sick. Yeah.
What about in the beginning, they say that taking Prasadam will actually purify the body. So in the beginning you have to, and actually they just love to do that when they just,
yeah. Yeah, there's probably other factors too. If you don't, generally when we first join, we don't come as pure devotees, although we may think we are. And therefore, there are certain, you know, all the urges and our desires of sense gratification that we used to. Better to eat, you know, a lot of prasadam. That way, you feel a little satisfied and calm. Otherwise, the senses may just go wild. Yeah.
I got a question. For example, when you got a fever or something, and then after a few hours or something, maybe one day, you just don't feel numb anymore and you stop eating. And is that
the fever? Fever is generally an attempt by the body to burn away the toxins.
But I mean, if you stop eating, is that a sign of the body and it's called out by intelligence? Or
you mean the fact that you don't want to eat?
Yeah.
Because you don't feel hungry. Just the energy of the body. The fire of the body is going towards burning up the toxins or the am that's in your body. And therefore, you don't feel like eating. Where it comes from is Krishna's arrangement. That's the way the body works. Hunger, real hunger, is when the body's ready, the fire digestion is ready, to receive more food. And when it's not ready, due to accumulation of toxins or the doshas are imbalanced, whatever reason, then you won't feel hungry. You know why it is, you have to ask Krishna. I didn't create, you know, that's why he created it like that. In the spiritual world, when you get a spiritual body, you don't have to worry about these things. But for now, in the material world, we should know that hunger is a symptom, real hunger, physical hunger, is a symptom of the fact that your body is ready for food. There are other symptoms also. For instance, you can check your tongue in the morning and see if there's a coating on the tongue. If there's a big coating on the tongue, that's a symptom of toxins and accumulating in the gastrointestinal tract.
But is there also some interference of something?
Everything is that. Don't blame everything on Krishna. I mean, Krishna may be in charge of everything in the material world, but he's manifesting how he's in charge of everything through the material energy. So this is how the material energy works. He just supervises it. In other words, he's like the judge. He knows he's under his rule, under his material energy's rule, everything is going on. But he's the one who causes it all to happen. But it's not Krishna, you know. I like this guy, so I'll let him digest the food. But this guy offended me yesterday. So, you know, he's going to get indigestion. Although, it's not like that. The laws of nature are there for everyone. Now, if we say, well, I'm a devotee, therefore Krishna will take special care. Well, I don't think we want to have to appeal to Krishna every time we eat a glovedoman. You know, Krishna, please, you know, make me a special exception. That way we don't want to waste Krishna's, you know, praying all the time after prasadam. Better to learn with the laws of nature and we don't have to bother Krishna about, you know, everything we eat. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I have the feeling that I have to ask the same again, but maybe I should put it in a more personal form. I had from very child age on my tongue with this white stuff when you said it was amma.
Right. Everyone has that, by the way, don't feel
yes.
bad. Yeah. What's that?
But also here and there diseases will come.
Yes. Other people have disease too.
Yes.
A lot of people die from them.
Maybe I should do something.
Yeah, get a tongue scraper. You know what a tongue scraper is?
Yes, I know.
And the other thing is, learn.
It doesn't help.
No.
Did you try fasting for a couple of days?
Yes, this is a problem. What I wanted to tell.
What's your constitution?
It's not so that I can fast long.
What was your constitution, your dosha, balance?
Vata.
So vatas could fast for one day.
Yes.
So one day. So but they should try to eat less and more regulated and smaller amounts, if not more often. So if you eat properly, you eat what you can digest according to your current physical condition, and gradually if you actually take care of your health, and gradually your fire can get up to its optimum level. And if you eat according to that optimum level, then you won't get indigestion. When you don't get indigestion, then you won't have any toxins. If you don't have any toxins, your tongue won't have all this white stuff, or green stuff, or yellow, or pink. It comes in different varieties. Sometimes it comes black. What's that? Yeah. Comes in multicolored ways. Yes.
I get a copper box from India, and then I get told that if I keep the water in it for a while and drink it, that is purified.
Oh, that's a different question. But yeah, that's a fact. Copper. There are different metals, and they have different properties. So copper will reduce kapha in the body. Similarly, kapha. It scrapes the arm. Similarly, silver will balance or reduce pitta, and gold will reduce vata. But anyhow, these are technicalities. In other words, everything in the material world has properties. And people in Krishna consciousness, they see Krishna and the super soul everywhere. And people who are absorbed in Ayurveda, they see vata, pitta, and kapha everywhere. So everything increases or decreases these doshas. And they're techniques, but we can learn these techniques, but we should not forget the real problem, which is Krishna consciousness. In other words, putting the whatever it is into the copper pot and putting the water and maybe overnight and then drinking it the next morning because I eat too much. That's ultimately not the solution. The solution is not to eat too much. But in the meantime, I might have my copper pot, but I should cultivate Krishna consciousness in such a way, and one of the symptoms of my development of Krishna consciousness is that I feel satisfied and therefore I don't eat too much. And I become aware of what Ayurveda can help us become aware of the different factors that are influencing us so that we can avoid too much of something or too little of something else. And be able to balance ourselves so to help our Krishna consciousness. But we should know ultimately their real solution, the ultimate solution, the perfect solution, is to be Krishna conscious. But if we're Krishna conscious, there should be certain symptoms. For instance, we won't eat too much. We'll get the 26 qualities of a devotee, and one of the qualities, the 26 qualities, is that he's a moderate eater. And that will take care of a lot of our physical and psychological problems. He's also clean, he's kind to everyone, etc. Yes?
I once fasted for 2 weeks, and then after these 2 weeks I still had this white stuff on my tongue. Indeed, it was even more at the end of the fast, or during the fast.
Yeah.
So how much time does it take to get rid of all these amma?
I don't know. Obviously, it would take you more than 2 weeks. You know, after accumulating it for, 20 years or something, and then we're waiting 2 weeks. Well, 2 weeks, this is too much. I want to get back and enjoy. So, after who knows how long it's going to take. But, all right, if we think, well, our real enemy is that white stuff on my tongue. And we think because it's really preventing me from my goal of life, which is to, eat and enjoy the material world. Then probably our objective is wrong anyhow. We have to modify our objective. Prabhupada wasn't, we didn't go over the letters, which we'll pass out. But we have to get the objective clear, And then we may not be so much, you know, overly concerned if I see a speck of white on my tongue, you know, wipe it out, it's interfering with, you know, with something. Ultimately, we have to adjust this science and the use of the science so that we can have a body which is moderately healthy, that we can go on with our service. Because there's things in devotional service which will, you know, will think, well, if I do that, my vata is going to increase. You know, if I worship the deities today, you know, this is over and ever. This is going to interfere with my vata. I'm sorry, I can't do it. So we have to, or, you know, if I eat, that's a sweet, you know, that's going to increase kapha. You know, this is maya. And all those people who are eating sweets out there, they're all in maya. I'm the only real devotee here because I'm balancing my doshas. We should see simultaneously that Krishna consciousness is, you know, we can go into a little bit to see how Krishna, just like for instance ojas, I didn't write it on the board, but ojas, just by thinking about Krishna, you get all energies. What to speak of ojas? Ladini Shakti has everything in it. Ojas is just a reflection. They've done studies that just by meditating, people increase their ojas, because it's a subtle energy. But if you get Krishna consciousness, you get all the energies, material and spiritual. So everything is included in Krishna, real Krishna consciousness. The problem is that we think, you know, just the reflection of thinking of Krishna is Krishna consciousness, or serving Krishna is Krishna, but that's just a reflection. If we're actually conscious of Krishna, then all the spiritual material energies are automatically there.
Yeah, that's also.
For example, if you eat wrongly, your quality of meditation is maybe not very good.
Yes, therefore, especially at our stage of this, we're not pure devotees, and we're not going to suddenly, you know, break through the all the different layers in the material energy and break through the coverings in the material world and through the Brahma Jyoti, and there's Krishna. I fasted today. There he is, you know. I was waiting for it. It's not quite like we have to, in the meantime, because it's not going to be like that. Therefore, we should know how to properly utilize the body. Just like a car, we have to know what to put into the car. But generally, we're not going to spend the whole day trying to figure out what to put into the car, nor should we neglect it. So we have to maintain it properly. So part of that is the science, because mostly we make everything very complicated. Tomorrow, we're going to go into the different things of, you know, what this food is, what is it, sweet, sour, salty, how it will affect the doshas, all these things. But if we think that, now I know exactly what to eat. But then there's another side to it. What my consciousness is, how to eat, how to prepare the food. There's so many factors. But the main factor, the most important factor, is we shouldn't forget Krishna. And if we get so much into the other details of whether this is increasing kapha or pitta or vata, or, you know, what is my state of dhatus,